Well, this card says Ecclesia Baptista Hockley, and it's pastored by Jeffrey Maradiega, and he's here with us today. And thank you for listening this morning. Please listen tonight, too. If what he said this morning was worth hearing, what he says tonight will be worth hearing also. Comes from the same book. Brother Jeffrey, you come. God bless you, sir. Very thankful that you're here. Can you preach after eating? Okay, we'll all find out in a little bit. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Well, welcome. Good evening, everyone. It's an honor to be here with Pastor Sixton. I was talking about I meet him, but I never know that I will be here preaching in his church, and that church of God that God given to him to pastoring. Let me correct that. So tonight we're planning to head back to home, but this morning we talk about the steward or soul, but tonight we're gonna learn about what our missions about it, and what we need to do as a missionaries. I'm gonna do my. All right, as he said, I got time. So that means that I'm gonna do my testimony at the end. If I can share a little bit before start preaching. I'm not grew up in a Christian home. I grew up my mom never go to church that I know. I know they're a solid Catholic back in, my country. And I never been in church when I was a little one. I've been know about the church when at the age of eight years old. A friend, work in our community, invite me to a church, visit and attend that church. But in our house, my mom have a liquor store. That's something. We're not mentioning that to glorify that, but I want to just give a part of where God saves sinner, amen? And that's why we're here, amen? So, but let me tell you this. So I grew up in that kind of area. And, go to school back in Honduras. My mom has another five children. We are six in total, three boys and three girls. I'm the last one. But because she have a bar back in those years, from the 2000. And back those days, so she telling us that we need to work. And I was working at that age at the bar. And then everybody working in the bar because that's the sustain to the family. So, doing that in the beginning, I'm doing like a normal job. But after attending that service with that brother from the community, something happened. Hear the message preaching about Ecclesiastes 12. And I see the statement of this brother Jose says, and he say that but under conviction, and I was like little man, I was like, I see if that's true, I want to trust in that God, but they never asked me to trust. I just hearing, and I was like, well, he mentioned don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. He mentioned everything what I'm doing wrong. It was because in the house, They're saying the drinker, the smoker, and I was like, it says guilty. Yeah, I feel guilty that because we're selling to the people and destroy families and see the people get drunk. And I feel like, that come to my mind of that age. And I was like, and I don't know if that preacher made me feel like that, but something made me feel like, I'm in the wrong direction. So, getting back home, thinking, how can I stop doing this? And I was thinking, how we can stop this? And I'm, well, I know I'm gonna talk to my mom, tell him that I'm quitting, help her. And then she come to me, no, you're not, you, what are you saying? Go to the store, go get this, you know, talking about other things that are not supposed to, but go getting, you know, those, I don't know here back in those days, but you know, or country, it's third world countries, that's what we're calling, they don't care. They don't care how old you are. They sent you to do whatever you did, and you just need to obey and go and grab it and bring it. So, well, that was my situation. And I need to go buy to the liquor store, bring it to the house, because in the front, like a kind of like a little house, it's the business, what we call in the business, and so be there. But I knowing something happened that day. Something happened to me, and I was thinking, well, my mom, she's not gonna let me. She's gonna put me doing this, and I don't wanna do this because I know this is not the right thing, and this is not good to God. And I was crying many times that I don't wanna go to the store and get those things. But, I go to the store because she sent me. And I was like, I was thinking about what I'm gonna do, fighting with my brother, my older brother, get fight. And that fight, I remember I grabbed a kind of like a coffee mug and I throw through him. And I was in the living room, and then it was something between the living room and the kitchen, and that mug goes straight to the new stuff that she bought. And that was a big, big problem. And I was like, oh, Lord, what can I do now? So, but that day, it was said, it was a man there that he's supposed to be my dad, my father. I realized later on, after like maybe 2 years ago, I mean 4 years, 223, 3 years ago, that she say he's not my dad. So I just realized that. Okay, so he's been there in that moment. So what I'm doing, what she said, he work after, grabbing watermelon and orange, and he grab those and go to other countries, say Nicaragua. So he go to a place, buy the watermelon stuff, and go to Nicaragua and sell those. So he offered me a job because I needed to pay the stuff. I said, okay, I'm going with you. So at the age moving to Nicaragua, it's something I'm just gonna give it to you, and I will go to Nicaragua and living in Nicaragua. I mean, 2 years, trying to work with him, go get some tomatoes, potatoes, cutting some, you know, bananas. Oh, many things. It was something. Sleeping in the truck. And the top of the everything, it was something. But that's happened. And then after 2 years, getting back to Honduras. And then, between that 2 years, my dad and I, we get fight together. And he said, well, if you're not work with me, so go. But at that time, I'm knowing people in the market, and they hired me to work. So I'm living in the market. Let me try to connect you with this. You know, you go to the flea market, and the flea market, they grab with a black, how they call, they just cover the thing. So I have maybe A by A, the place, and then we wrap it up, but I'm sleeping inside. And I'm sleeping inside, and then as I wake up in the morning to open up around 3 a.m. and then to the public. It was like, it's something that was like, okay, so well, I was 9, 10 years old by that time. So Brother Mundo is a man named Mundo. That's his name. His name is Ward. world, this mundo, in Spanish, mundo. So he let me stay there. And you know the potatoes, I had to clean the potatoes every other day, because that's one day when one get, it's, you gotta be, I'm living there, so I have to be, take care of those thing. But what happened is, get some money, go back to Honduras, and then give the money that I have to my mom, and trying to be free for a little while. But the same, they're still doing the same. So how can I get out from that? And that's when I've been keeping the message where Brother Jose teach about Ecclesiastic. And it's when friends from the local community say, hey, let's go to America. And I know that's the only way that I found to get away from home, to get away from what they doing it, because I don't want to be involved doing it. So I'm going to preach today a message in Philippians 4:8, and I'm going to conclude the story of the testimony after the preaching. Have to be something together, all right? So if you get what I'm saying, you'll be into the preaching in this time. So chapter 4 of Philippians, chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 8 through 14. If you're there, just follow me, please. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 8 through 14. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and this there be any price, there be any price, think on those, on this thing. Those things which ye have both learned and received, as hear and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lack opportunity. But not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith it to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, but to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Jesus, through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity that you give it to me. Help me to preach, work, and your Holy Spirit come through and pass by the pews, touching hearts, and help me to do what you send me to do, and help me to be faithful to the call that you give it to me. If there's anybody here, Lord, please use your word to wake him up and to listen what you have to tell us this evening. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I would like to teach about the love of God. I would like to preach about the love of God. We invest our life to others, but we know that Philippians initiate as a joy, but the context means giving and go. We read already about the Philippians is talking about joy, but it's talking the context, that the context of the text mean giving, joys, and go. And I would like to talk this evening about the love of God. And what's the love of God do in us? What's the love of God do in us? And but in verse 8 it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. He is telling about what's is true, what's honest, what's pure. What if Paul is talking about something that is in have to be in the brethren. And the brethren, but he's talking at the same time to provoke to love. And that's one of the things that we need to provoke to love. Sometimes we're not provoked to love. We provoke to other things, but now we're provoking to love others. But what Paul is saying here is we need to provoke to love others. That's why God saved us. He saved us to others, so they do not know Christ, amen, that they need to know Christ. But the love of Christ, what's the love of Christ? And we come to see in verse 10, he says, But I rejoice in the Lord. Paul, we know about this chapter 4 in verse 8, and we know about Paul. He was missing support, but we're not going to talking about that. We're going to talking about that joy that the Apostle Paul has. And I would like to connect that through the joys to the local church, to the members, to the people who we calling the local church and the body of Christ. How and what we need to do and how we need to get active to provoke, as a Bethel Baptist Church, provoke the community and reach the community to provoke to love God. And in chapter 1, verse 9 says, if you go back a little bit, Paul says in 1:9, and this I pray that your love may abound ye more and more. Paul always saw his emphasis about the love of Christ abound more and more. And he said that the love of Christ constrains me. It's something that you and I have to be, like what we're saying, get possession, the soul, like what with the inner man. And it's the same way how we're going to love the people. With the inner man. But Paul says here, I pray that the love of God abound more and more. Because we're not going to love others if we not possess it. You're not going to love others if you not possess the love of God. We need to possess his love in us to love others. But let me just go a little bit here. He said the love may abound more and more. And he talked about excellent. Verse 9, say, about acknowledge in all judgment that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Sometimes you get offense. And it's okay to sometimes you get offended, but it's in this scenario. You need to know that if the love of God is constrain us, it's no matter what the people do to us. Because this is momentary. When everything done, when our life ends, we will be a heaven.
Amen.
If we are Christian. Amen. But sometimes it's going to be hard times to you. Sometimes it's going to be hard times to me. And what Paul says, keep reading, please. And he says, verse 11, being filled with the fruit of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 12 says, but I will ye shall understand, brethren, that the thing which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the fathers of the gospel. I see one thing over here. Everything what has happened to him is to the advance of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Is anything happened to you to the gospel, to spread the gospel? Is anything happened to you really, really, really bad that is to progress the gospel, to spread the gospel? Sometimes you don't even know why it's happened to you. Oh, I don't know why my flight is delayed. Maybe because you need to say, you need to give a gospel to someone. Oh, maybe you get late to that appointment, but or something, the appointment is canceled, but you don't know if it is opportunity to give the gospel. But let me tell you, yes, it is an opportunity to give the gospel. All time, everywhere that you go and I go in and pass by, we owe the gospel to the people. What's Paul doing over here? He said, everything that has happened to me is for the fathers of the gospel. Very interesting to see what Paul did say. The thing that has happened to me is for the advance of the gospel. But let me see, verse 21 says, for to me the life is Christ, and to die is gain. But sometimes you and I, we don't think like, oh, I want to die for Christ. But sometimes we're missing deny ourselves. Sometimes we're missing what is in our souls. But let me tell you right away what's going on. Verse 10, 4:10, look what is happening there. But I rejoice in the Lord. Heart flourish. You are here. Paul talking about flourish, that they are remembered. That Apostle Paul needs support, needs help. But Apostle Paul being suffering for the cause of Christ. And sometimes when you do the word of God or the will of God, you don't pay attention what happened if you don't eat or you don't. I mean, I'm honest, we don't pay attention to those things. We just want to serve God. And sometimes our family come to us and say, no, what are you doing? Listen, that's not. When I called back in those, after 3 years walking through America, and when I called my relative and telling that I'm in a church, and after 4 years after telling that I'm in the seminary, and they get mad at me. Sometimes my mom, a real mom, is in Texas, and she comes to the service, and sometimes I'm preaching, and I'm saying that she don't want me to study. But let me tell you, what decision were we making? Paul made a decision that he willing to love him, and he willing to pay the price loving others. But let me say this. It's that flourish, you are taking care of me, my affliction. Paul say that grace is more than we expect sometimes. And that's true. Sometimes we're expecting something from people, but let me tell you, his grace is all what we need. His grace is bigger than our problem, is bigger than everything, than anything what you can do and I can do. His grace. That's all what we need. We need grace. By grace, we are saved. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's the God says, like Paul said here, he's telling that we expect on what we have that we don't have, but God is faithful. Sometimes we got expectation, but God has that, his only expectation. And that was Brother Paul says, oh, it not just Paul, Brother David say, who is in heaven? And my God is in heaven. And let me go through verse 11. Verse 11 says, Paul says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Sometimes, church, sometimes you and I were not content for what he's given us to. Right. Sometimes you and I were not content. But why? Maybe we're lacking a love of God. But because if we love God, we need to love others. Because if we love God, we need to forgive others. But sometimes it's hard to love others. Oh, tell me, it is hard. It is hard. And I know that it's hard. It's hard to love people who do things to us. But that's why Christ came. That's why he came to the world. To forgive and to love. And to walk in love and truth. But sometimes it's something that it happened to you. I don't know, but he knows. But it's something that you and I need to forgive. But I know sometimes. But that's why we need that inner man to help us to do the decision. But let me go. Paul says, I learned to be content. And sometimes, church, it's a little thing that we need to learn sometimes to be content one in others and what we have. Remember what we said this morning, the possession that belongs to us is not us. It's from God. But let me tell you, verse 12 says, I know, and let me tell you this because it says, I know both how to be a beast. And I know how to abound. And he says, in everything and everywhere and in all things, I am instructor both to be full, to be hungry, but to abound and to suffer and eat. It's very challenging to see the humility of the Apostle Paul. The humility. And that humility is when you know, God knows. But let me tell you, Paul know what mean independent. But he removed independent. He put dependent in him. Sometimes we say, oh, we are independent. We are fundamental Baptists. And I know, yes, we do. But sometimes God brought us to be dependent on him. And this was the Paul come to be dependent in the Lord. And he humiliated to God. But the Lord help us to be dependent on him and all our needs. Because he says in verse 12, everywhere, no matter where I am or where you are, you and I need to depend in the Lord. If you are up on the mountains, you need to learn to depend on him. If you are in the valley, you and I need to depend on him. Because some of you and I, we're in the middle of the valley. But you know what? He is God. And he is faithful. That's why you and I, we need to depend in him. Paul says that he, no matter where he at, he said, hungry to abound and to suffer need. And that's something that is challenging us because what is about, when we're talking about joy, when we're talking about giving, when we're talking about serving, or when we're talking about to go, it's no matter what you feel or how you feel. We need the soul winning. We need to go. But the way to go is joyful, with joy. And the way that we're given have to be joyful. And the way how we're serving have to be joyful. And the way how we go have to be joyful. It's how we see, an hour ago. Everybody working together as a joy. It was amazing. Because it's something that motivates us, not the pastor. Have to be him. It's not other motivation. It's him. It's the Lord. It's pleasing him. It's we grow spiritually to do what we need to do on time. But Paul says over here, he says, no matter. I know what is abound everything. But as the same thing, I know what is a lack of hungry. And Paul says, faith in the Lord. Give mission, or give a promise, faith promise, or give how we give when it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult. You catch that? Give when we have, but what about give when we don't have? And what about when we give that we don't have, but the only what we have is the payment from the car payment, insurance payment, medicine payment? It's difficult when you and I just have the money for the medicine. But remember, hungry are difficult, suffer. And sometimes the church, or we need to think about it, sometimes it's not going to be easy how we talk. Because God asking us to do everything through love, through joy, through giving, to serve him, and to go. Going. If I ask you, but we're suffering to give for the advance of the gospel. By grace. I know that some, maybe here, I have people in our church that they give mission and they give, but they some of them, they cannot give too much. But some of them say, one of them come to me, but I just got this, and I promise got this, and this is what only I have to feed myself. I tell them, hey, we need to learn. We need to learn when he's hungry and when he suffers. Yes, and trust in him. I say trust him when we give him. Giving by grace, God be provide. Joys of giving, going, serve him. Because our joy is going to be on heaven. When you see the people. Sometimes you give a mission today, or send missionaries offering, and you don't see the fruit. But people have been saved there. And when you get heaven, if you're completely faithful, you will get the rewards. But let me finish. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That what Paul said, if I give in all what I have, I'm hungry, I'm suffering, but who's provide? That 4:13 is when it's complete. Because he's who provide us. It wasn't complete if we were not hungry, if we were not suffering. Because we were talking about that they thankful, that they remember that take care of him. But let me finish on the 14. Look what it says. Please, it says, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Another way, God, Paul said, thanks God for your participation. Your participation with me in my affliction. The church need sometimes the church do their part. But sometimes other church participate together. When I meet you, Pastor, he gave an offering down there on the when Harvey came. Nobody else participating with us. But he did. And many others did. But you know what? He did. Because what God says is we need to trust him. We need to love him. And the way how you and I love him is the way how he will support us. Let me finish here. Here in there has to be Maryland. You here, us there. We need to do giving as a joy, serving as a joy, going as a joy. Joys. Have to be joy in ourselves. And Paul says Philippians 4 is it's a joy, but it's the matter of giving. But giving with joys. Are you committed to do your part here in Maryland with joy? Giving, going, and to other people have that joy that you and I expect having right now because we're safe. They're not safe. That's why we need surrender. Let me conclude what I'm saying before. I'm walking through America 3 years, walking in Guatemala, walking in Mexico, living in the mountain, living on the streets, living in the shelters. Get captured 3 times with those people. Being prisoner for many. The first time was 3 months. The second one was 2 weeks. The third one, I just run away. I just remember when I crossed. I don't even know what's in my mind that day. I was a little man. But one thing that I know is when I get into America, and that lady, that soul winner, that's how we call it. Soul winning? Amen. The soul winning knocking my door. Invite me to the church. And Sunday morning, the bus rolled outside. The soul winning came. Hey, the bus is here. Coming to the church. That's 17 years ago, 18 years ago. And I know sometimes you say we waste money and the buses, gasoline, insurance. Kids coming. I'm not saying I'm rich, but I was a poor kid coming. And you know, kids we come into the church. Oh, it's a nice church. Start getting pants, do graphic, and start destroying the church. I know some of those kids just need love. The only what those kids need is love. Someone to love them. Someone to teach the love of God. So that's what I found. I remember in the morning we get donuts. Donuts? Donuts, donuts, donuts. Man, that's phenomenal. Man, ooh. But the way back, we get pizza. Man, it was something. That's something. But something, somebody paid for it. I don't even know that after 5 years, God's going to call me in a mission conference. And now, have my bus route as a captain. Buy donuts. Buy pizza now. And I see that many kids say, hey, we want pizza. We want pizza. But let me tell you that I get saved. And God calling me to the ministry. And now we're there. And we know what those kids need. Not just the kid, everybody needs someone to love them. That you will be that person through Christ, use you to love and see others become to Christian. Paul says, the love of Christ. Let's pray together.